Before I tell who I'm going to talk about this morning, I'm going to try to give you a little description of this man, because I believe he's the type of a brother that we come into contact at our ecclesias and that we meet at Bible schools. He's probably a middle-aged brother, and he probably doesn't have a real important job, because being a success in the business world or in some endeavor like that, he's really not interested in. He's probably neat and clean in the appearance, but he probably doesn't take too much interest in his clothing. And he's usually not in charge. But he's always kind and patient and nice. And when you talk to him, he usually ends up talking to you about the gospel. Some reason or other, the conversation will always return to God's word. And if there's ever something about the scriptures that someone can't answer, he's usually that brother that you go to get the answer. And this brother usually really shines when it comes to Bible quizzes. Because if he's, let's say he's 65 years old, and he's probably read the Bible about 40 or 45 times. I knew a brother at our ecclesia. He was in his 70s. And I think he had read the Bible 55 times. Each year, he read the Old and New Testament. So this is the type of man that we're going to look at this morning. The Apostle Nathanael. Nathanael Bartholomew. And we're going to do some scripture reading. So everybody take their Bibles. And turn to John, the first chapter. Everyone, take your Bibles and turn to John, the first chapter. Now put your finger on verse 29. That's where we're going to start. And while we read these scriptures, I want you to notice something. That the mention of Nathanael is more detailed and more interesting than Andrew, than Philip, or even Peter. Brother Floyd, would you come read that for us?
First chapter of John, 29 through the 50th verse. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, Therefore I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these.
Thank you, Brother Floyd. The majority of the students of the Bible who have studied the apostles firmly believe that Philip and Bartholomew were friends, close friends. It was then the most natural thing for Philip to go to Nathanael with the startling and breathtaking news that he had found the Messiah. Who else could enter into this newfound joy as could his most intimate friend? Thus, when Philip found the Messiah, we can understand his great eagerness as he rushes to his companion with the good news. It is said that sometimes a friend sticketh closer than a brother. Nathanael was introduced to Jesus by Philip. Had Nathanael refused the invitation, These two friends would have had a barrier between them. They would have been lost to each other, and Jesus would not have had Nathanael with him. But that did happen. Nathanael came. He came to Jesus with his friend Philip. When Philip broke upon the solitude of Nathanael with his stirring cry, "We have found him, Jesus of Nazareth," a strong prejudice led Nathanael to answer, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Many writers feel that Nathanael, being a student of the Old Testament, and he was, should have recognized this prophecy. Let's look at Matthew 2:23. "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." Now I can see why Nathanael missed this prophecy. I'm sure if I would have lived in those days, I probably would have also. And this prophecy is found in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. Let's turn and look at that. The 11th chapter of Isaiah, verse 1. Now we're going to read three verses in three different chapters before I have an explanation. Look at 11, verse 1. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Now turn to Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." See that word branch? "And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Now let's turn over to Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. Zechariah 3, verse 8. "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee. For they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." Now, where the Messiah is spoken of as the branch, in each one of these three verses that we have read, the Hebrew form of the word Nazareth means branch. The Hebrew form of the word Nazareth means branch. So for the only way I can understand this is that when Nathanael read these verses, he only noticed the kingly aspects of the Messiah. He didn't notice the Nazareth part of it. Jesus lived in Nazareth, and he was the branch foretold in Isaiah 11, verse 1. I think that's kind of interesting there. And I would also like to bring in another interesting point at this time. There's another rendering of the word branch. And it renders it flower. Just as the delicate fragrance of a flower is an excellent delight to many of us, so the character of Jesus conveyed back to the Father in actual life the beauty and fragrance of God's own name. God said of him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And in Genesis 49:21, we are told, "Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words." These are also descriptive words of Jesus Christ. He is the one with goodly words that came out of the flower town, Nazareth. He is the one with goodly words that came out of the flower town, Nazareth. He was the Word made flesh, the Word of God made flesh. And if we study this book closely enough, his good words and that character that he had, even though he had the same nature that we do, will be a sweet fragrance to us. And we, as 11 of those 12 men he chose, will follow him. But let's get back to Nathanael. There was honesty beneath the prejudice of Nathanael. And Nathanael was honest. He knew that he did not know all things. There was also in his heart the slumbering hope that his eyes would see him of whom the prophets spoke. So Nathanael pushed aside his prejudice and went with Philip to see this man of Nazareth, and in so doing, one of those silent seekers after God was brought forth into history for all to read about and know of. Nathanael was a man given to study, meditation, and prayer. And it is presumed that his occupation was in the fishing business. Nathanael gives us a striking lesson in spiritual deportment in business life. Where was Nathanael when Philip went to get him? He was under the fig tree. I'm sure that Nathanael was probably good at the fishing business. He probably did a good job. But he never allowed himself to be completely absorbed by it. And getting back to that brother that I described earlier, when I first started today, he probably does a good job at work. But his occupation is not the most important thing in his life, because he's probably seeking first the kingdom of God. In reality, Nathanael's mind was set on things above. Whenever he could, Nathanael would retreat to a certain place for study and prayer. And only his closest friends knew of this place, but someone else knew, very much to the surprise of Nathanael. Before Philip called thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Before Philip called thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Time for another point to be made. God and Christ know what we are doing, and they know what we are thinking. They know if we are sincere. We should never forget that they know. Now, it's a fearful thing if you think about it, but it's also a good thing. And I've often thought about that. We were talking earlier about the influence that we have on other people. You know, other people are looking at us, but other people don't see everything we do. But there are those that do see what we do. And that's God. He sees what we do. There's Jesus Christ. He sees what we do. And there's also the angels. They see what we do also. And you know, if we keep this, instead of being fearful about this, we should be glad that they see us. And we should be glad that we know that they see us. Because it should make a difference in the way we act, and what we say, and what we do, and what we think. Nathanael was shaken to the very depths of his being. The fig tree was his secret place. The fig tree was his upper room. Only one person could have known that place apart from his friends. And who was that? Jesus, the Messiah. Now let's look again at John 1, verse 47. I read this verse many, many times before I ever noticed it or even paid any attention to it. John 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Now look at these words. And saith of him, behold, an Israelite. But he said something else than just behold an Israelite. Look at there. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now there is a lot said in that sentence. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. How amazed Nathanael must have been that Christ's first words to him were not those of condemnation. For what did Nathanael say when Philip rushed to him with enthusiasm? Nathanael, Nathanael, I have found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, what good thing could come out of Nazareth? How How amazed Nathanael must have been that Christ's first words to him were not those of condemnation for his preconceived notions and doubts of Philip's testimony as to the discovery of the Messiah, but were words of congratulation and praise for all that he, Nathanael, already was. Look at that verse. Look at it. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. An Israelite indeed, a Jew, not by chance or accident of birth, but we've got an Israelite here who was indeed an Israelite in character and disposition. And Christ bestowed this wonderful commendation on this man when he first meets him. Let's read Romans 9, 1 through 8. Brother Ray, would you read that, Romans 9, 1 through 8?
Romans 9, again, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
Okay, now, that's far enough right there. Verse 8. Now let's go back and let's look at verse 4 and verse 6. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Now look at verse 6. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. He says they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now go back to John 1. Now look at that verse 47. Does Jesus tell Nathanael that he is an Israelite, but he's not of Israel? What does Jesus say to Nathanael? Look at verse 47. He says, Behold, an Israelite indeed. This was an Israelite indeed. Now let's look at Psalm 73, verse 1. Would you read that, Brother David Pinkston, verse 1? Psalms 73, verse 1.
Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart.
even to such as are of a clean heart. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. This man of Nazareth, Jesus, he knew the secret character of Nathanael. Nathanael was a man who feared God. He had studied the Old Testament scripture, and he had given much thought to it. He put into practice the best qualities and traditions of the Jewish people. He was sincere, he was honest, and he was simple. And when Christ's eyes rested with pleasure upon the honest face of Philip's friend, it was like finding an oasis in a wilderness of sand. And the admiration that Jesus Christ had for the character of Nathanael broke forth in honest praise. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Many aspects of our life are riddled with trickery, with deceit, and fraud. Brothers and sisters, we need to be honest and we need to be sincere, not only with the people in the world, but with our brothers and sisters and with our own selves. Let's look at Matthew 6, verse 8. It's Matthew 5, verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 8. Do you see how all this fits together? John 1:47, Romans 9:4-6, Psalm 73, verse 1. Now look at Matthew 5, verse 6, verse 8. Blessed are who? The pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. There sure is a lot to be learned from this about this man, Nathanael. What's in a name? Taking Bartholomew first, it means son of a plowed furrow or prepared for seed. Nathanael had done a lot of studying, hadn't he? A lot of studying. Here was a man already prepared for the goodly words of Christ. Nathanael had plowed a furrow in his mind by study. He was prepared for what? He was prepared for the seed of the kingdom. And taking a cue from agriculture, the furrow was straight, and the soil, the mind of Nathanael, was fertile. Nathanael, no doubt, yielded a good harvest for the Lord. Now, let's look at the word Nathanael. Nathanael means given of God, by which we link him with Jesus for his service. Secondly, it means instructed by God. Nathanael had learned on his own from the Scriptures and was also taught by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, for 18 months probably before he was called, and then for 3.5 years afterwards, and then for 40 days after Christ was raised from the dead. And last, it means rewarded by God. And as David reminded me of how I say this this morning, listen to this. Nathanael was rewarded by God in that he was given the privilege of being with the Messiah and also praised by him in this life. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. What wonderful words. And this man Nathanael, he will also be given eternal life and a wonderful place of honor in God's kingdom. As we take our farewell of this apostle, Nathanael, it is with the wish that we would like to have known more about him. The words of praise he received from Christ, greater by far than any that the other 11 received. Did Christ ever say anything like that to Peter, James, or John that's written in the Scripture? I can't find it. Did he tell them that they were Israelites indeed? The words of praise he received from Christ, greater by far than any that the other 11 received, revealed promising material the Lord had to work with. All that remains is that Nathanael, with the others, deserted Christ when he was taken captive. Now let's think about that. Hear that man that Jesus said, behold, an Israelite indeed, he deserted Christ. A suffering Savior had never entered Nathanael's mind or his studies. He, along with all the others, had not comprehended Isaiah 53 or Psalms 22. Jot those down if you're not familiar with them. Isaiah 53 or Psalms 22. They're in the Old Testament. Nathanael should have known about these chapters. He should have understood them. And these two chapters tells us that the Messiah should die as a sacrifice. And to all those apostles, this was unthinkable. That to the one they loved most of all should have to die as a sacrifice. He was the one who was going to get them out of the problem of the Roman Empire, to get out from under their control. But with all the errors being made by Bible students today, I can't be too hard on these apostles. Not me. These men who had truly forsaken all, they left everything. Family, home, friends, jobs, to follow Jesus Christ. And they had declared their willingness to die with him. And they were sincere in this. They were ready to die for him and with him. But in a moment of weakness, moments of weakness, keep that in your mind. In a moment of weakness, these men deserted their master. It was late at night. Have you ever been up late at night? Problems many times are 1,000 times worse late at night. About 2 or 3 in the morning. And these men had a lot of problems on their shoulders at this time. They were also very tired. They were all depressed. You ever been depressed? Do you think real good when you're depressed? Because what had Jesus been trying to do? He had been trying to prepare them for this. He had been telling them about it. They didn't want to hear about Christ dying. They didn't want him to leave them. They wanted them to stay with him. They were in almost a state of shock. And then before their very eyes, their Messiah, the Son of God, the man whom they had seen perform miracles, even raise men from the dead. And what does he do? They get between him and the soldiers, and they try to prevent the soldiers from taking him. And what does Christ do? He submits to the arresting party. And in a moment of weakness, these men chosen and prepared by Christ Himself, they fled. In a moment of weakness. There's a lesson here for each and every one of us. And I want your attention. Look at me now. I want your ears and I want your eyes. Every one of you. Because I'm going to talk about this thing called a moment of weakness. In this life, you and I cannot get away from human weakness. We can't get away from it. It's in us and it's in our fellow men. We are weak and we are prone to error. We can fail and we can sin. And we must never forget this. And we do, all of us. We fail and we sin. We're weak. And that's why Paul said something. Now listen to me, every one of you. Paul said, be strong in the Lord. He said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may do what? That ye may stand. If we realize how weak we are, this is important. We need to realize how weak we are. Because if we do, we will not forget to do what? To put on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword which is the Word of God, the breastplate of righteousness. Our loins will be girded with truth, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Let's look back at Acts, the first chapter. Brother Bobby Cox, would you come read verses 1 through 14 for us? Would you come read verses 1 through 14?
The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after the passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining of the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren.
Here we have the same men who fled about to embark on a great mission. Look at verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode who? There's Peter. You know, he denied him three times. And there's James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas. Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, the Zealot, and Jude. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Here we have the same men who fled. What are they going to do? They're going to preach the gospel. They would declare the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is said that Nathanael taught in Ethiopia, Parthia, Lycaonia, and Armenia. And in Armenia, Nathanael Bartholomew, this quiet, studious, sincere man, died a martyr for his Lord. This intelligent man, honest, and thought the best of everyone, was skinned alive with knives. Some call Psalms 15 Nathanael's Psalm. And let's read it. Psalm 15. Psalm 15, it says here that David describes a citizen of Zion. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. From what we have considered today, Nathaniel Bartholomew was one of the best of men. And the reason is clear. He was one of the Lord's men. We'll close today with a prayer.